This Saturday, the new film The Wizard of Lies premieres on HBO. It tells the story of the downfall of financier Bernie Madoff, whose Ponzi scheme cost investors tens of billions of dollars when it collapsed in December of 2008. It's based on the book of the same name by New York Times financial reporter Diana Henriques. She was the first reporter to interview Madoff in prison, and some of those conversations are portrayed in the movie. Diana Henriques joins us now. Good to talk to you again.
Oh, it's a delight to be here, Jeremy.
Well, and as we said, you were the first reporter to talk to Bernie Madoff on the record after he went to prison. Did you get a sense, or do you have more of a sense now, of why he did it?
At the time, it was very hard to put any whys to it. Madoff had a bit of a cover story, which was that, you know, he had always been an honest investment manager, and then he just fell behind because big investors were taking out more money than they should, and he could just never get back on the right side of the law again. I don't think I fully believed that then. And having corresponded with him in the years since then, I'm far more convinced that it's a more complex explanation, Jeremy. I think this is a man who just was incapable of admitting failure at anything. And if the market let him look like a genius money manager, honestly, great. But if he couldn't look like a genius honestly, he'd look like a genius dishonestly.
Does he know this movie is coming out?
He does. He follows the news about himself fairly carefully. It won't surprise you, knowing what a narcissist he is. And so he was aware that HBO had optioned the book when it came out. I spoke with him a few times during production to clarify some points. I mean, where the script was relying on my book exactly, you know, I was at peace with that because I can back it up in the footnotes. But where the script wanted to add something, I would research it and be sure I was comfortable verifying it. At a few points, that involved checking things with Madoff. So he was aware that the production had begun. You know, how he feels about it, he's never said. I don't imagine he's displeased that one of the greatest actors of our time is playing him.
Robert De Niro.
Yes, but I don't think he'll have a chance to see it. I mean, the Bureau of Prisons usually doesn't carry premium cable channels. So,
well, let's listen to a scene from early in the film. This is Bernie Madoff, played by De Niro, telling his family that his company is built on a Ponzi scheme to the utter disbelief, it appears, of his sons and his wife.
It's a fraud. There are no investments.
What are you talking about? Of course there are investments.
I made them up.
They're on every statement.
I made them up.
I've seen the trades.
They're fake. All fake. Basically just a big Ponzi scheme.
What's a Ponzi scheme?
I took money from some people and I gave it to others and I never, there's nothing left. It's supposed to be $50 billion. There's absolutely nothing. It's all gone.
Do you buy, this is something that I've had a problem with since the very beginning of this, and obviously this film gets into this. Do you buy that the family didn't know anything?
I think there's absolutely no evidence that they did know anything. It was among the conclusions of my book when it was originally published, Jeremy, that there was abundant circumstantial evidence exonerating Ruth and Madoff's two sons, and zero evidence implicating them. What we do know now, and particularly after evidence presented in the criminal trials for Madoff employees that came several years after my book was complete, we know that the government believes this fraud began as early as 1978. I'm not sure that I buy that. I think it's possible Bernie stepped across the line and back again and across the line and back again several times. But I'm absolutely confident that this Ponzi scheme was up and running at least by the mid-1980s. Well, at that point, his sons are still in college or in high school. So they get out of school, they come to work in the family firm, and how does that conversation go? Oh, by the way, Mark, Andy, guess what we're doing downstairs on the 17th floor? And these two young men out of the Wharton School, University of Michigan, decide that rather than go work someplace else on Wall Street, they're going to stay there and work with Dad until the Ponzi scheme falls apart. It never made any intellectual sense. It never made any emotional sense. And Ruth always suspected, although not with any proof, that Bernie was cheating on her, that he was you know, so much more attractive to other women that he must be cheating on her. Well, who's even going to let his wife suspect that if she can drop a dime on him to the FBI? Mm. So when you look at those circumstances, in addition to lots of down in the weeds stuff about how they handled their money, their behavior during several of his cash crises, when if they had been his accomplices, they certainly would not have been withdrawing money the way they did. And I reached the conclusion in my original book that they were innocent of any knowledge of the Ponzi scheme until Madoff confessed to them. And the film is faithful to that conclusion.
And we should say, for people who haven't followed this story, that Bernie Madoff's son Andy has died of cancer. His son Mark killed himself after what happened.
Yes, he committed suicide on the second anniversary of his father's arrest.
The authorities also did not catch on to what he was doing. In fact, they caught him because his sons called the FBI. How did the authorities not have any clue that this was a fraud?
Well, more than anything else, Jeremy, it was a massive failure of imagination. They simply could not imagine that this man that they had respected and admired, one of the most innovative pioneers on Wall Street, you know, an advisor on industry roundtables, they couldn't imagine that he would be running a Ponzi scheme, in part because, frankly, they had the same delusions about Ponzi schemers that many of us still have, you know, that they're going to be these big bon vivant, charismatic characters promising pie in the sky and double your money in 50 days. They thought that was a Ponzi scheme, and that was definitely not Bernie Madoff. The few times that they investigated him, they investigated him for a completely different crime, a form of insider trading called front-running, which he was in a perfect position to do. His wholesale trading firm handled an enormous volume of orders from all the biggest firms, mutual funds, and discount brokers on the street. So Bernie could see a queue of orders for, say, General Electric coming in. Well, what would be easier? He puts a little private order in for his private clients at the beginning of that queue, and then all those big institutional orders drive up the price of General Electric, and he quietly sells. So he could almost engineer a profit for himself by front-running. Unfortunately, it's illegal. And that's what the few people who suspected Bernie thought he was doing. They thought he was front-running, and of course, Bernie loved it when they investigated him for front-running because it was the one crime he wasn't committing. And so every time they investigated him for front-running, what happened? He came up with a clean bill of health. So it was a tragedy of errors, really.
Let's listen to one more clip from the film in which you appear as yourself. And in this scene, you're asking Madoff, played by De Niro, if he really knew what he was getting his family into.
You say you wanted to protect your family.
Right.
But just an example, what would have happened if at some point before the crisis of 08, you'd been hit by a bus, you'd dropped dead? Mark and Andrew would have become the owners of a firm that was still in the middle of perpetrating the biggest Ponzi scheme in history.
Except the advisory was a completely separate business, one in which they had no involvement, so.
But with you dead and Frank probably willing to swear to anything to save himself, seems to me the odds are that his owners and lifelong executives, they'd have gone to jail. Your sons would be sitting there where you are.
What was it like to sit opposite Robert De Niro playing Bernie Madoff as opposed to sitting opposite the real Bernie Madoff?
Not much different, Jeremy. It was really—
Could you tell the difference?
A little supernatural how close they were. Yes, of course. I mean, there are some facial feature differences that you can see. A very, very slight difference in the voice. I think Bob got Bernie's voice almost dead nuts on. And he's sitting right across the table from me in this replica of the prison visiting room that they've built, holding his hands and moving his shoulders and talking and acting. It was like reliving those visits to the prison. I had to audition to play myself.
Really?
Interestingly enough. Oh, yes. That was a surreal experience. I figured if I flunked my screen test, I'd go directly to a shrink, to see why I couldn't give a convincing portrayal of myself. But in the audition, I did the first reading with the casting director and then was called back to read the scene with De Niro. So, you know, he didn't have the script letter perfect yet. But we sat knee-to-knee on a couple of plastic chairs in the casting director's office, And I think I had the first lines, and I said my lines. I asked him a question, and he had a one- or two-word answer. I asked him again. And as he was answering, maybe 40 seconds, if that, into this scene, I could just see him change. I mean, his the way he held his mouth, the way he held his head. And then later, I could see that those were the little bits he was starting to put together that would become this incredible portrayal. But I can't tell you what a fascinating experience it was as a journalist to have a front row seat at watching this incredible actor build this role and carry it out. It was just remarkable.
That's New York Times financial reporter Diana Henriquez, who is the author of the book The Wizard of Lies, which is the basis for the new HBO film, which premieres this Saturday. Diana, thanks as always.
Always happy to be with you, Jeremy.